Now. Real people. Real opinions. Nighttime Talk.
Ireland's classic hits radio.
The local family-run pub. They're all at risk, though. All the pubs across Ireland, they're at big, big risk, with little interest from the next generation to take over. Roughly 4 in 10 publicans are currently considering retirement, according to a report by the Vintners Federation of Ireland. Some 84% of rural publicans also say family members have no interest in taking over the running of the pub. And it's very, very frightening time for pub owners out there. And I'll tell you just a personal note. I was out over the weekend and I was in a well-known local pub. I'm not going to say the name of it. And we had a wonderful evening. It was a family event. Quiet night, but my God, was the pub quiet. And in a previous life, I was a barman. My dad owned pubs back in the day. So I do understand the business a little bit and have a lot of sympathy for publicans. And I said to one of the girls that was working there, she was a really, really good bar person. And I said, what is going on? Why is it so quiet on a Saturday night at 10:30? And she said, it's just completely changed. Her dad doesn't drink there anymore. People used to go down on a Saturday night and have a pint. You know, these pubs are an institution in this country. It's a way of life for an awful lot of people, or at least it was. I mean, you go down to the pub at the weekend and have a chat. Great cultural moment. And as well, you know, we always talk about loneliness in this country and people living, you know, in rural areas. The pub was their real outlet at the weekend to catch up with people and, you know, just look for a little bit of company. So I want to get your thoughts on the pub, the local pub. Let us know on 087 188 0008. Is there a future for the Irish pub? I can't believe I'm saying that out loud. I really can't, but it's becoming stark. I know town, you know, in Dublin and in Limerick and Galway and Cork, you know, all the major towns, they're busy at the weekend. We know that, you know, the big late night bars are, you know, they're doing decent business. But I'm talking about the locals. I'm talking about the rural pubs. What does the future have in store for them? So I'm going to go to Jessica. Now, Jessica, you say that you don't go out anymore.
No, but that's just because, like, I'm 25, halfway to 50. Like, I don't care much for, like, the going out scene. Do you get me? Like, the only time I go out is if, like, if the football's on.
Right, so the big events like the rugby or the football, that'd get you down to the pub.
No, not the rugby. Premier League or any league of Ireland matches, mainly Liverpool matches I'll go out and watch.
And why is that? Is money a problem for you? Like in terms of the price of drink, you don't want to be spending that much money.
Well, not even that. I wouldn't be caught dead in town, like, because one, there's not many places in town anyway, and even like the pubs in town, it's criminal. The amount of money that they're charging for pints, and even the pub I do go to, it's not even my local because I live in our town, but I go all the way to Finglas for my supposed, like you can call it, watering hole. Do you know what I mean?
Did you ever used to go out more? Is this just the way you've always been? You just go out the odd time.
I used to always go every Friday or every Saturday night to the academy on Abbey Street. But then, like I said, that was kind of like in around my college days. And then I kind of think, you know what, I don't want to be dealing with all the hangovers and everything. Yeah. Now, I'll go to the pub with like my dad or whatever, have a bit of a carvery, have a few pints or something, and then call it a night.
Right, so you go down for a carvery and a couple of pints in the local. And would your dad be a pub goer?
If he's off early. Like, if he has a day off from work or if he's off early, he usually heads down. Thursday is usually his night. Then, like, I'd meet up with him on a Thursday night or when the football's on the weekend, we'll go down and watch a Liverpool match.
Yeah. So you do go to the pub?
Yeah, but, like, I wouldn't be someone who goes out, if you get me. But, like, I'd go if I was in the humour, if you get me. Like, I wouldn't be going every weekend. It would just be, like, if I'm in the humour.
And have you noticed?
Have
you noticed a change in the amount of people that to be in the pub when you're there? Is it quieter than it used to be?
It depends. No, like I said, the place I go to, it's usually the same people anyway.
Yeah.
Like in the bar playing pool or whatever, and then the same people like in the lounge. Like it's usually the regulars in the lounge. But usually, sometimes on Thursdays as well, there's another pub in Finglas, and usually the people come in. They sometimes come in to where I go to for like kind of like pre-drinks, I suppose, and then they head over to like the other places.
Yeah.
So it's like almost like pub crawling and all. But I think it's very rare nowadays that you actually do see regulars, because sadly, I think probably all the regulars that are there are probably dying off.
Well, I think as well, people's habits have changed. Now, when I was working back in the day, you know, you're talking the early 2000s, you could set your clock 5:30 every day. People would finish work and come in for a pint. You had a certain crowd of people that would be in around 4:30 or 5:00 for a few afternoon drinks, and then they go home and have their dinner and go to bed early. But then you'd be hit with the after work crowd, and then you might go quiet for an hour, and then you'd have, you know, the evening crowd would come down for a fair few pints. And that was every single night. You'd had people on a Monday, you had people on a Tuesday, you had people on a Wednesday, and it just got busier Thursday to Sunday. And I just don't think that happens anymore in the locals. I think if you're a local pub now, you have to have food. And as you said yourself, you go down for the carvery, don't you?
Yeah, like I'll go down for a carvery, or if there's chicken wings, I'll even just get a bowl of them for the table. But like, I feel like it's probably like a health. I feel like if I put reasons why the local pubs are dying off, it'd be the kind of health stuff, obviously, with what we know now about alcohol that it kills it and everything, and then just the cost of it as well. Because it doesn't matter where you go, alcohol isn't cheap. Unless you're away, like out of the country, but here we charge like an arm and a leg for even a pint. Some places over £6. Like, yeah. I remember when I first started going out, it was about maybe, if you're lucky, £4.
You see, now the publicans would say that they don't really determine the price to a certain extent.
Oh,
I mean,
no.
the market determines the price.
I know it's out of their hands. Like, I'm sure they don't want to be charging that much. I know they probably hate charging that much, and I feel like that's probably a bit of a double-edged sword for them as well.
Yeah. Jessica, stay with me. I want to get Michael in. Now, Michael, you believe the pub is dead.
I think it is, yeah. I honestly think it is. There's several factors there, the reason why. Right, inflation is number one. Smoking ban came in, and then, obviously, people are afraid especially in rural areas, afraid to go for a few pints in case they get stopped driving on the way home.
Yeah.
You know, and you can get cheaper drinks in the supermarkets. A lot of people are drinking at home. You know, and then they might go out then to a nightclub instead of going to a pub. They'd have a few drinks at home, then head straight to a nightclub or a late bar or whatever the case may be. As in my day, we'd hit the pub, go for a few, get locked, and then head to a nightclub and hope it stays just sober enough that you'd be able to get in.
Would you say people's habits have changed? That's been a big, big difference.
The habits have changed due to the inflation over the last number of years. Like I said, the smoking ban there as well, that hit them hard. And, you know, obviously the drink driving, well, that was always there, but it's been really, really enforced in the last number of years. Where back in my day, you know, you had a few pints, you'd be a guard. He'd give you the benefit of the doubt to let you on. But that's all changed. Like, the whole system has changed. Everything has changed. And everyone's afraid to go out now in case they would get caught. And, say, going to a rural pub, like, you could spend 10, 15, 20 euros on a taxi to get there, and then it's another 20 euros back. You know, that's making it a very expensive night before you have a drink.
Oh, it adds up, there's no doubt about it. You used to be able to go for a few pints for 20, 25 euro in your pocket for a quiet couple of pints, you know. But now, as you say, a taxi there and a taxi back, it's all going to add up. And Michael, do you mind me asking, whereabouts in the country are you?
I'm in the Midlands.
You're in the Midlands. So would you be rural or would you be in a town?
Oh, I'd be rural, but like, I don't drink anymore. But I used to drink back in the 90s and the late 90s and 2000.
Yeah.
Like, Different ball game altogether back then compared to now.
And would
And
would you ever go to the pub, or would it be only for an occasion where you have to be in the pub?
No, I give up the drink. I don't drink anymore. But actually, last weekend we went out. There was an occasion. Myself and herself went out, and we actually met a couple out of the blue that we never knew before, and we started getting around. We're getting around the drinks, and it was I'm telling you, like, it was 38 euros around for four drinks.
For four drinks?
Yeah, and there was two of us drinking minerals.
And that's in the Midlands?
That's in the Midlands, yeah. I couldn't believe it the next morning when I opened up my wallet.
I'd say you couldn't. And you don't drink, so you were probably on a soft drink, were you?
I was drinking 7-Up.
7-Up. And the four of those drinks came to 38 euro, €10 a head, basically.
almost 10 euros ahead, give or take, you know.
And do you think that's, you know, that's a huge problem for the pubs, is the price? That, do you think that's the main problem they have?
That's one of the problems. Like, you hear the Vintner Association going on about, like, surely in this day and age, like, they can help. Like, they are one of the problems. They can help the rural pubs. They can slash the price, cut the price a small bit. Like, their profit margins, I don't know what they are. I'd say they're unbelievable. And you never hear their profit margins at the end of every year.
Well,
you hear all the other...
Well, I'll say this to you, Michael. I was a barman myself, and I understand the business. You know, I do understand the business. And I know that publicans would certainly turn around and they'd say, look, the government really are dictating the price. The market is determining the price. And, you know, the big drinks companies keep putting up, you know, their prices. So therefore, it has to be reflected in the price that goes across the bar. And you also have to remember that the business has changed in terms of, you know, wages and... other bits and bobs that they need to get, you know, the premises up to spec and everything. It costs an awful lot of money to run a pub these days, a lot more than it used to. That's what they say.
Oh, exactly. Like, that's what I'm saying. The inflation and the renovations, the upkeep of a pub, you know, of rural pubs is astronomical, like, you know.
Yeah.
Most of the punters don't see the hidden cost.
Actually, there's an interesting question. I want people to get in touch with the show on 0871 880008 and let us know, wherever you are in the country, just what's the price of the pint and where you're at? Because just out of interest, I want to see how it changes as we go around the country. And indeed, if we have a publican out there listening in, I'd love to chat to you directly on 0871 880008. I'm going to go to Martin now. Martin, now, you say the last time you were in a pub was after a funeral.
Yeah, about 4 years ago. I mean, I'm 63. When I was younger, my favourite night of the week was a Saturday night. Myself, my father-in-law, my mother-in-law, my wife, we'd go out to the local. We'd separate, myself and her father. We'd go, we'd sit at the bar, we'd have a few pints, we'd solve every problem in the world, and we'd go home happy. But I think Michael is absolutely right in all the points he hit as to why... particularly family and local pubs are being hit particularly hard. But I think the real nail in the coffin came with the scamdemic. There was a mind shift in Irish people. There were so many people started drinking at home. And now it's become the norm, I think, where, you know, people are drinking much more at home.
Yeah.
Maybe in their own home or somebody else's home, but they're certainly not... The going out, the social aspect is not there. I don't think it is anyway. I certainly haven't seen it myself amongst friends or relatives
Martin, I can recall not that long ago that if you said to someone, I'm staying in tonight and having a few drinks, people would look at you a bit funny, wouldn't they, years and years ago? They'd say, like, what are you sitting in there drinking on your own for? You know, or even with your girlfriend, your wife, your boyfriend, whatever it is. And they'd look at you like, would you not go down to the pub? I'd never drink at home. And now it's sort of common practice, like you say. People are sitting at home and they're having a fair few drinks and they're watching the television. And is the pub offering, you know, a reasonable alternative? Or have they priced themselves out of it?
Well, I think it goes deeper than that. I don't think it's... I think there's just been a mind shift in the way Irish people consume alcohol. Pardon me. I mean, when you go out... I've had this conversation with Niall once before. When you go out, you go to a garage, you go to the smallest supermarket, you go to the bigger supermarkets, everywhere you go, drink now is far cheaper in the supermarket than it will ever be in the pub. Now, I know that was always the case, but during the... what I call scamdemic, but during that whole thing, okay, people became almost conditioned to, I can't go to work, I can't go out, I'll pick up the six pack or the bottle of wine or whatever else, and they take it home along with their spuds and their sausages or whatever they're getting. It just became part of the grocery list, and I see it to this day. I still see it when I'm in supermarkets, the amount of alcohol. And there's one supermarket I'm very, very closely associated with. And the money that they make, the throughput of alcohol is colossal. It's absolutely colossal. Far more than it ever was before COVID. Far, far more. I'd reckon it's probably up about 40, 50% the turnover on alcohol. And I think that's what happened. That's what's happened. So much so that it's certainly starting to become a health crisis. And for some reason, I think it's particularly with women, it's becoming a health crisis. Because there's this thing of, oh, well, the bottle is open, you know, particularly a bottle of wine, might as well finish it tonight. It's just, there's been a mind shift. And I don't think it'll ever go back to where it was. But one of the things, I have to be honest, that always put me off a pub is if there was a television on in a pub. Because for me, when I was younger, the idea of going for a few drinks, go out, have a couple of pints of Guinness with my father-in-law or my brother or whoever else, was to have a conversation. I could never, ever stand a television in a pub. Always put me off. If there was a television on in a pub, I turn around, I walk out. The whole concept of it, like I would never go to watch a hurling match in a pub or a GAA, a Gaelic football match in a pub. They're the only ones or a camogie match, they're the only ones that I would watch as a sport. But I would watch that. For me, it would be live. I'll buy a ticket and I'll go and I'll watch the match. I would never watch it in a pub because it just doesn't have the same atmosphere for me. But I just think there's been a mind shift in the way Irish people consume alcohol. And I don't think it's been a good mind shift. I think it'll have serious consequences, particularly on rural communities. Because once the pub is gone, it's like the post office, the pharmacy, you know, the local doctor, whatever else. Whatever evils people attribute to alcohol, there are benefits to social drinking for people to get out, meet with their neighbours, meet with their friends, their family, whatever. Have a few drinks. I don't mean go mad. I don't mean get absolutely wasted. I'm talking about just to go out, have a conversation, a bit of laugh, a bit of skit, a bit of crack, as we're known for.
Well, this is what occurred to me over the weekend when I was in the pub I was in. On a Saturday night, there was nobody sitting at the bar, nobody chatting. It was almost like a ghost town. And I couldn't believe it. And you're talking about a small village, a place where you would expect some locals to be sitting there having a pint. And according to the staff, it's been like that for years. So this is the way it is. And you think it's since COVID and the pandemic, people got used to sitting at home having a few drinks and it's become less socially unacceptable to do so.
I do. But I mean, when you say it's been happening for years, yes, there has been a decline for years. Pardon me. But I do think that Michael's absolutely right in many of the points he made. In fact, in all the points he made, you know, you have the drink driving limits. And I'm not pushing back against that. I'm not arguing against that. But there has been a shift. And I don't think it's coincidental that in almost anywhere in the country, you're never going to be very far, you know, not more than a few miles from one of the big German retailers. And we all know who I'm talking about, the two big German retailers. They've saturated the country. And, you know, now, I'm not closely associated with either of those, but I do occasionally have to go into them to get, you know, just your household cleaning products or whatever else I might be getting. And I see it, you know, the number of people who are actually, you know, there's far more people walking out with alcohol now of all generations. And sometimes, quite a lot, I'll see people walking in and purchasing only alcohol. But not, it's not kind of, oh, well, it's a discretionary purchase while I'm in getting the whatever. They're going in specifically to purchase alcohol. I don't think it's ever going to, I don't think there's any way back from that. I think the damage is done. I think it's bad for society. I think it's bad for people for health reasons. I think it's bad probably for families. I just think we've lost something. I know we have somewhat of a bad reputation, but at the same time, the social aspect, as I said, of going for a few drinks, and I'm speaking particularly from a man's point of view, as I said, my father-in-law, who's passed on now, Lord have mercy on him, we used to go out on a Saturday night, you know, back 20 years ago, 25 years ago, we'd go out on a Saturday night and we'd sit at the bar, have a few pints of Guinness, and we'd solve every problem in the world.
Yeah.
As far as we were concerned, we had the answers. We'd go home happy. You know what I mean? Now, obviously, we didn't have the answers, but we convinced ourselves we did, and we felt better about it. We weren't wasting our time just sitting there for the sake of drinking. We were having a bit of laugh, bit of banter, a bit of skit. We'd converse with other people that we knew that were regulars, friends that would also be associated. There was never a crossword. You know, we'd never overindulge. But it was you know, that one night in the week where, you know,
you could
the generation...
catch up and have a
drink. Yeah, the generation before me and myself and my wife at the time, you know, we'd get together with her parents. Now, my father was never a drinker anyway, and my mother wouldn't go into a pub. But I think we've lost something. I do think we've lost something.
Well, that's why I wanted to talk about it tonight, because it is all about being social, do you know what I mean? And like, as you say about Martin, spending time with your father-in-law like that, these are important things that you don't get sitting at home, you know, drinking in front of the television. But I've got Lorenzo on the line here. And Lorenzo, you don't go to the pub because you think they're depressing.
Hello, hi. I hear you very distant, so it might be delayed.
Okay.
In answering.
Are you in the pub, Lorenzo?
No. I'm outside at the moment.
So you think the pub is a depressing place?
So, I mean, it's probably one of those things that is kind of a difference in culture.
Where are you from, Lorenzo?
Like, I'm from Italy.
You're from Italy, so you're Italian.
Yeah.
And you'd be more inclined to go to an espresso bar, would you?
No, I mean, I don't mind pubs, but like... Even at the moment, if I go out, I would look for something more than just sit down and drink.
Right.
I mean, for example, I'm back out with some friends and other dads, and we went out a few times, and we were trying to go out to have a pint. But even I'm a kind of a table game nerd, so I was bringing table games, and we were playing, chatting and drinking, and at the end of the night we were drinking probably 3 pints instead of going out. And like the first time we went out, we were totally hammered, and I was like, what's the point in doing that, you know? What's the point in finish a pint and have another ready, finish a pint, another one ready, what is no point? I mean, for us it would be like, go out, you have a drink, finish the pint, whatever, doesn't matter, you keep talking, keep doing something else, and then probably after 15-20 minutes you get another pint. So it's social, but it's not like, I mean, I was in for 3 years in West Cork, and I saw people drinking 12 pints in 1 hour.
I'd say you did. That's not unheard of.
Yeah, but what's the point?
I know. Yeah, I mean, I know.
You drink four. I mean, what is the purpose? It's not purpose, like.
And it's you're saying, Lorenzo, it's different in Italy. I mean, I've been to Italy myself, and I know, I can attest to what you're saying, is that you'd go to a bar in the evening and people would have, you know, a glass of wine or a Campari or whatever it is, and chat. It would take, you know, it could take an hour and a half to have that drink, and they might only have that and a quick coffee and go home. It's about the people you're with, not what you're drinking. So you think culturally in Ireland we go too hard at it in the pub?
I think you go very hard, and I think the difference now that you were saying in terms of less people drinking is because probably there is more people traveling and more people seeing other realities, and probably they want something else. They don't want to anymore to go. I mean, we went out probably a month ago around Easter. Before Easter, we went out with these guys and we were looking for a pub. We were like, okay, go around and see. We went in a pub. I could see probably 3 meters from me. There was no light. I was like, what's the point? I mean, it's very depressing. I mean, you can't see 3 meters away from you. I mean, how can you have a chat? I mean, you can't see. What's the point? You know, I would prefer like more bright. At least you can do something, chat or see each other. Like, so, yeah, but I think that what I saw is that you go, you don't stop, basically. While in Italy, now it's different, but, I mean, young generations, they do basically the same. They go out and blast themselves out. But when I was younger, we were going out, and when you were starting to feel that the alcohol was coming up, we were like, okay, one more, that's it, finish. There's no point of not being able to walk, like, you know.
And what part of Italy are you from, Lorenzo?
Tuscany, from Pisa.
Tuscany. And what's the sort of scene there like? Is it nightclubs and like small cafe bars and places like that?
So, I mean, still when I was there, and now it became very popular, is called, before it was called aperitivo, now it's called apericena.
Okay.
So the what apericena is, even if you go in Italy again, is basically you go out. So we have dinner very late. I mean, later than here. We're talking about 8, half 8, 9, even half 9. So before, the aperitivo was, if you go out at 8, you were meeting up at 7, going for a Campari or a Prosecco or something like that, have a few snacks like nuts or peanuts like this, and then go for dinner. Now they basically joined that to the dinner. So you go to a bar that do apericena, you order your drink, that usually is a fiver. It doesn't matter if it's like Sex on the Beach or a mojito or a beer or whatever. It's usually a fiver, and you have a buffet that you can eat from. So you basically sit down, you have a pint and start eating, and then have another pint and keep eating. So it links basically the pre-dinner to the dinner.
Okay, so it's
then finish up around 10, half 10.
It's a full experience, Lorenzo. And just by the sounds, yeah, by the sounds of things, you could have a comfortable, enjoyable night out for, what, €40, €50?
No.
More?
15.
15 less, oh my God.
Probably less.
I'm going to Tuscany, Lorenzo. Will you show me around the place? €15, wow. And you get a meal and,
I mean,
you know...
Look, I remember the last year, it was 2 years before I came here, they opened a bar that was basically a stand-up bar. So it was literally a small room that you were going in, drink and out, and was called Shotteria. So they were doing only shots. It was €2 a shot.
Wow. But and that's an interesting point, though, Lorenzo, because, I mean, you know, a lot of people would say, I'm not saying it, I'm just giving you anecdotal kind of, you know, what people would say, if you opened up a bar like that in Dublin, where you gave away €2 shots, the place would be standing on end within an hour and a half if people could go in and get a €2 shot. I mean, a lot of people would say that. But you're saying down in Tuscany that they'd go in, have a few shots, and that'd be it. They know how to behave themselves.
No, they will. I mean, we were going there, we were having 2-3 shots, and then go wandering around, get a beer, and walking around, sit on the in front of the river, chatting, getting an ice cream after or getting some food after. So obviously for us, it's easier because even like if you want to eat something, you can eat probably around until probably 2-3 in the night because there will be like places opened for very late kind of sandwiches or donuts or things like that that you can eat away before going to bed basically. So you can eat and eat basically, eat a dinner, drink, and eat again if you need basically. So it's a bit easier probably for us to be open and be out all night.
Okay. Well, Lorenzo, I have to go to a quick break.
And no problem.
I think I'm going to jump online and book myself a flight to Tuscany. But look, we're going to be talking about pubs for the next while now, so please do get out there. Before the break, we were talking to Lorenzo about going out for a few drinks in Tuscany. It sounds pretty good, Martin, doesn't it? Would you be interested in a pint in Tuscany?
Well, if I was in Tuscany, I wouldn't be drinking pints of Guinness, Gary.
No, you wouldn't. You'd be having a Campari and soda or a Prosecco.
Well, no, it'd be whatever the local wine and the local foods are. We have a different culture, and it was a very bad line, so I couldn't hear a lot of what Lorenzo was saying, but it points up. We do have a different drinking culture now. It brings back to mind. Now, both of my daughters are grown women with their own children now, but it brings to mind when we would go on holidays, particularly Mediterranean, you know, Spain, Greece, Italy. When we went out, our young teenage daughters were with us. We would go for a meal and, you know, a drink, and my daughters, you know, if they wanted to, and they were only in their early teens, if they wanted to try a half a glass of wine. They got a half a glass of wine with some water added to it, and it introduced them to it in that way. In that it was associating for them in the early years, drinking alcohol was something that it was part of, not just having it with food, but part of you know, the occasion of being with family and being there, not to excess, it was another element of that night, if you could understand what I mean, when we'd go out. Now, as I said, about grown women, I don't know, you know, maybe in recent times they've had one or two hangovers, I don't know, but certainly at that time I always...
Martin, that's what I was going to ask you. I mean, your daughters, as you say, are grown women. Would they go to the pub at all themselves?
No, they don't really go to pubs, no. No, I mean they're both family women, you know. They don't, and neither do their husbands either. They don't frequent pubs, but as the water, when they're at home and I'm not there, like if I don't see them, you know, would they drink to excess? I would like to think not, and I do think not. But who knows? I mean,
they have a drink. But
I'm not saying it never happened to me when I was younger. It did on one or two occasions when I was in my very early 20s. But only on one or two occasions, only when I was being absolutely ridiculously stupid, you know?
Yeah, but that's what I'm trying to get to the bottom of tonight, is because, I mean, I know myself with friends of mine and that, people don't really go out like they used to. I mean, it used to be a weekend occurrence. And I'm not talking about age either, because, I mean, we were all young once and we all went out and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, there was the chances of a pint on a Thursday or a Friday or a Saturday. You'd meet the lads or the lasses for a couple of drinks or whatever it was. And I just don't really see it happening much anymore. And I find that really quite remarkable. And as you were saying, Martin, it's kind of since COVID that it's become quite glaring that people's habits have changed and whatnot. And someone pointed out to me during the week that when I was working in pubs, a job I absolutely loved, If you were starting your shift at 5:30, they'd all be in after work. But nowadays, they're all at the gym. That's where they're going after work now. People are health conscious. They're not going to the pub. They're going to the gym, or they're going to the shops to get a bit of food to get the dinner ready, because they're working too hard and they're working different hours than they were maybe 20 years ago. And it's a changing society. What would you say to that, Barton?
It is a changing society. And there's a lot of truth in what you say, but I think there's also a lot of truth in the fact that for a large cohort, drink is no longer really an element of their life, because drink has, you know, alcohol has been superseded by drugs. I mean, this country is sinking under the weight of cocaine. It seems to be, and particularly amongst the middle and upper classes, cocaine, you know, now I have never experienced it myself. I've never been offered it. If I was, even when I was younger, I would have turned it down. I've never been close to it. I'm only going on the reports I've seen, the things you see in the media. You know, where at one time it was, let's go and have a pint. I think for a lot of people, or let's go and have a glass of wine or a gin and tonic or whatever, I think for a lot of people, it's now a social line of coke, if you know what I mean. And I think that's unfortunate. I mean, you know, think back several years ago when I think it was the Sunday War went in and they took swabs of in around the doll from the toilets and what have you. The place was awash with cocaine. Now, if that's going on in the seat of Parliament, what does it tell you about the country?
Yeah, well, there's no doubt that is completely out of control, and it's I think it's more prevalent than people think it is. I want to go back to Lorenzo very quickly. Lorenzo, are you still there? Lorenzo, are you still with me? Okay, I don't have Lorenzo. Okay, I was going to ask Lorenzo, you know, out and about in Dublin, you know, he was talking about the depressing pubs and does he see all the drug use? I'm going to ask Jessica the same question. Jessica, I still have you there, don't I? Jessica? Okay, I don't have Jessica. Nobody wants to talk to me. I think they've all gone for a pint. But there you are, Martin. Martin, are you with me?
I'm with you. I'm still with you, Gary. I'm here.
You never let me down, do you? We should go for a pint sometime.
name the place. So long as there's no television playing in the background, Gary.
Well, actually, it's a funny anecdote, because when I was working in the pubs, there was one particular pub I worked in, a very famous pub on the south side of Dublin, and there was two parts to the pub. And the family I worked for, I'm still very close with, they're great. There was TVs in one part of the pub, but there was strictly no televisions in the front part of the pub. And it was just, it was a red line that they wouldn't cross. So, you know, people had the option when they went to the pub that if you were going to sit in the front bit, you were going to have to talk to people. And that was the end of it. If there was a match on, you knew where you could go. You could go in next door. And the pub does take the life out of the... the TV does take the life out of the pub, doesn't it, Martin?
I do. I think so, yeah. I'm probably an outlier. And as I said to you before, I'm a grumpy old man. I was probably born a grumpy old man. It's just, if I was to be going out now at my age, if I was going out for a drink, I want to go out and have a... I want to have a sociable drink. I want to have a conversation. I want to walk away feeling, you know, I've accomplished something that night. Either I've gotten to know somebody, or somebody I already know well, I've gotten to know them that bit better. We've had a conversation, you know, we've engaged with each other. For me, you know, a television in a pub is just...
That's why I wanted to talk about this tonight, because it concerned me no end when I saw that pubs were really in trouble across the country in terms of rural pubs and locals and things. And I've got Susan here on the line now. Susan, you think that it looks like the pub is dead?
Hello, Adrian, is it?
It's Gary.
Gary, oh, sorry, Gary. Sorry, I got mixed up.
Ah, you're grand. Yeah, you can call me what you like, Susan.
Except early in the morning.
Oh, yeah.
it seems very dead, doesn't it?
It looks like the pub is dead to you, yeah?
I think so. Now, I'm out in Fingerola. I'm just outside an Irish pub. J.B. Burke's is the name of it. There's a couple of Irish people sitting outside. I might try and see where they go on. But anyway, I think that it's gone very dead. And do you know what I think, Gary? I think that things are changing. Like, it's a kind of a move to different things except sitting inside the pub as a social gathering. I mean, here now in Fingerola, I could go to a cafe bar, I could go in a supermarket. Everywhere's open till 2 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning. So you don't have to worry that you're going to sit in a bar, because I find, Gary, when you do sit in a bar or you do sit in a pub, people are just getting locked all around you, and you're not really going to have much of an intelligent conversation. Not that I could have an intelligent one, but you're not going to really have a conversation at all, because just they start mumbling.
And Susan, you're down in
Fingerola.
They start
mumbling and they can't talk.
Some of them can't talk. But Susan, come here. Now, you're down in Fingerola. Are you on your holidays or do you live down there?
I know, I don't live here. I'm just here for 3 nights. I'm going back home tomorrow.
Oh, very good. And are the people in the bars around you, are they all on holidays or are they locals?
They're all on holidays. Hold on a second.
Are they Irish?
Hang on.
Oh, sorry, Susan.
Excuse me, are you Irish?
No.
I'm on the radio on the Niall Boylan show. Well, I don't think it's Niall Boylan anymore. But he wants to talk about pubs like becoming a bit dead nowadays in Ireland.
Mm-hmm.
Would you like to talk about that?
No,
there you are now. That's all right. But Susan, let me talk to you. Let me talk to you for a minute.
That's the end of that conversation.
That's the end of that, yeah. Jeepers.
Why is that?
I live here.
Oh, you live here? Oh, this man lives in Fingerola. How exciting could that be?
There you go. And you're on a little holiday, Susan. This is great. It's like having...
He lives here. I'm here for 3 nights.
It's like having... Susan, listen to me. It's like having an intrepid reporter on the scene. I love this.
It's like Charlie Bird, God rest his soul.
God rest
him,
yeah, absolutely.
So, God rest his soul.
So you're down there on a little break, and it's a different culture in Spain. We were hearing earlier on from our friend Lorenzo about how they drink in Tuscany and that, and now down in Spain where you are in Fingerola, it's, as you say, there's drink everywhere if you want it. There's no limit to where you can get it and what you can do. But the bars are busy in Fingerola, aren't they? And they're not all tourists. There's an awful lot of locals there.
Oh, for sure, Gary. A lot of locals. Like my man here beside me.
There you go.
An Irish man, but lives here.
That's brilliant.
And a couple of English people. Now, the English people, Scottish people.
Oh, Scottish. You got to get that right, Susan.
They do like a drink. The Scottish, like ourselves, like a drink. That's all that's to us.
Oh, well, Susan.
Gary.
Susan, what's the weather like?
What's the weather? Well, I know the blouse is sticking on my back here.
Oh, japers. It's always a good sign.
I got the cardi on me because it's nighttime.
Oh, yeah.
I've been in a sweat all day because I was up in Rhondda, and that's up the mountainside.
Lovely. Well, Susan, enjoy your break. Enjoy your break. I'm going to let you get. But what are you drinking tonight?
I'm drinking pina colada.
Oh, pina colada. Is it a good one?
Pina colada. I tell you, it's going to my head. I try not to take an alcoholic drink, but I'm going mad here because I'm in Fuengirola.
Well, enjoy your little trip to Fuengirola there, Susan, and safe trip back home. Thanks for calling in.
Bless you. Bless you,
Susan. Safe
bless
trip
you.
Home.
Bless this man beside me and the Scottish.
Yeah, tell good him thanks. We love the Scottish. Now, Paul, I'm going to go to Paul. Paul is an entertainer in pubs. Susan's a gas character. Paul, you're an entertainer in pubs, so you have an opinion and I'd love to hear it.
Yeah. Where will I start?
Well, we'll start with this. Local family run pubs across Ireland appear to be at risk. Now, there seems to be little interest from the next generation. Why do you think that is?
Well, I have to disagree with you because an awful lot of the pubs I play in on a regular basis, and I would play like three, four nights a week, probably Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and all around Dublin and the greater Dublin area. And people are there for entertainment. They're out drinking. They're out having great time and great fun.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not sure if they're family-owned business, but I'm sure they probably are.
Yeah.
In regards, because an awful lot of the pubs, even in Dublin inner city, their dads and mams that own the pubs, their daughters and sons work in them. So I don't see it's all changed in regards to, you know, times of playing gigs and times of doing work and times of, you know, performing. But however, I have to say, I don't really see or get your point in regards to.
Well, it's not a point. It's a study. I mean, 84% of rural publicans, the Vintners Federation. We're talking about rural publicans. They say that the family members have no interest in taking over the pub, and that the pubs that are doing well are the pubs that have live music and food.
Yeah. Well, the rural thing, I probably only caught in at the before you started off your thing. But the only thing I would say, rural pubs probably so. But I have to disagree. In the pubs that I play, like, I play all over Dublin, and I played all over Europe. I played, you know, through my life. I'm 40 odd years in the business, and I played in different countries and the whole lot, and I've experienced some great times through music. But I have to say, my experiences, and currently my experiences, is that they're doing well. Now, rural pubs, I can't speak for because, you know, small towns and the whole lot. However, I've done some small villages around the place, and people seem to travel around the pubs during the night. But that, you know.
But do you think, Paul? Do you think, Paul, that's because you're putting on a show, and that's what gets them out? Are these pubs doing well on a Tuesday and a Wednesday when you're not there and there's no live music?
Well, I'll say to you is that I was doing a gig tonight before I came home, and I stopped into a pub, and there was a good few people there.
Right. Okay. And that was in Dublin,
so
was it?
I stopped there, and tonight's a Monday, and they didn't have entertainment on. However, you know, you can't have it all the time in any business. If pubs were full all the time, we'd all buy one.
Well, it used to be like that, Paul. Paul, it used to be like that back in the 80s and 90s.
Yes, of course. But if you look at the prices now compared to before, I mean, you know, I won't even tell you where I live, but my local pub in the bar is now €6.20 for a pint of Guinness. Right. That's extortion.
You think that's too expensive?
But you're driving the people out. Sure, if you can go up to a local provider, like, don't get me wrong, I'm not knocking anybody, but if you can go up to Lidl or Aldi or go to Dunn's or whatever and get yourself, you know, alcohol, you can get it. But, like, how are you going to expect a fella to come in to a pub, say, on a Monday night, and for a pint of Guinness, which is probably usually the cheapest draft on the tap, and you as the barman would probably know that.
Should be,
and the other premium lagers, well, the former barman, sorry, would probably be more expensive. So the my local there, €6.20 a pint of Guinness, and everything else is through the roof. And then if you go to the lounge, you're paying more, you know. So I just popped into a local there on the way home, and a friend of mine was driving tonight, so I just popped in, had two pints, and it was €6 a pint of Guinness.
Yeah. So 12 quid just to pop in and have two pints.
Okay. But there was back in the day where you had the pensioner's pint and you had people going out. And like, if say a pint was 4 or 5 quid, a fella could go in after work and a 4 or 5 pints were 20 euro. Sure, look at it now.
And do you think people save up their money all week to go out and say, see, like yourself?
No,
they don't. You're an entertainer now in the pub at the weekend. I'm assuming that's your bread and butter at the weekend.
No, I have a real job.
I know that, but I mean the weekend sort of. No, Paul, what I'm trying to say to you is like the bread and butter. That's the Saturday night is your night, the Friday night. That's when you need to be doing your performances in the pubs. Do you think the customers would only go down those nights? Or would they be less likely, say, to come in on a Wednesday for 2 pints?
Well, there's a lot of pubs have entertainment on from Thursday to Monday.
Yeah.
And, you know, I live in the Clondalkin area, so, like, pubs like down on the Long Mile Road and the Cherry Tree and, you know, all lots of pubs have a Monday club.
Right.
And they loads of them, like, all the way down as far as Thomas Street. They all run. I mean, I was playing the pub there on Sunday afternoon. There was two acts on. There was an act on before me, and then I was on. But the pub was jammers all day.
Right.
But you can't have it every day. You can't have it every day, you know.
Yeah.
And they have a Monday club, and the place will be full on the Monday. But you know, and then they do food, so they're getting their food during the week, like their lunches and their afternoon things and the whole lot. Yeah. And you know, so. All I can say to you is that, you know, it's like, you know, and I'm not being funny, but at the weekend, I'm booked out, say, now, this is the holiday weekend, and the weekend just gone, I played Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and tonight. Now, I work 5 days a week anyway, but next weekend, I'm out Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, it's bank holiday. So, there's a huge demand for entertainment. So, obviously, pubs, you know, are hiring entertainment, obviously, to get people in.
Yeah.
However, any of the pubs I play in, there's always a good, decent crowd in it, you know. And there's regular Monday and Monday clubs and Thursday night gigs going on in loads and loads and loads of pubs. So in the rural end of it, I don't really know, because I don't really do kind of a lot of outside Dublin nowadays.
Yeah, well, the Vintners Federation would say it's not particularly because of lack of business. It's lack of capacity to make a profit. It's very hard to make that profit, and the things you have to do to get people in is food and entertainment, like yourself, Paul. I want to bring in Rob here now. Rob, what do you think? You say there was a time not long ago when the man used to drink all his wages on a Friday night and have no money for the family.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah.
It's not that long ago either. I mean, 80s, 70s.
Yeah.
And he got home then, no money. All the money gone, he had spent on his good time friends.
Yeah, and you think that doesn't really happen anymore?
I think that's more or less gone, I think, anyway, yeah.
Hmm.
But then, I mean, the pubs are definitely in demise. There's nothing sure.
Yeah.
You have Paul there talking about that's grand, like the Monday night. That's obviously to get business in on the Monday, because there's nothing, otherwise there'd be nothing going in there.
Yeah. You have to do something to get the people in, because, I mean, 20 years ago, all you had to do was open your doors. Really, that's all you had to do. You were going to get a crowd.
People just, they'd look at you, like if they said you were you're having a drink at home, they'd be looking at you as if you had 7 heads on you or something like that, you know. You couldn't understand how people would drink at home. People, you know, other people, these would be dedicated drinkers though, Gary.
Yeah.
You've probably seen them when you're on your own barman.
Yeah.
I don't know if you did or not.
I loved
you. You know, fellas that'd be out most nights of the week.
Oh yeah, no, I knew I knew the customers, and I knew exactly what was going on. But you could set your watch by most of them, and I just don't think that happens anymore. I really don't. I don't see it. And the price of drink, we're getting WhatsApps in on 0871880000. We're getting lots of WhatsApps in indeed.
But I always find, Gary, people are always finding money for drink.
Well, I just got a WhatsApp there from Erica, and she says she's off the drink nearly 2 years, and she loves the pub, but she drinks Heineken Zero, and it's 5.30. It's 5.30 per pint for a non-alcoholic drink, and I know a lot of people give out.
That's like buying one of those mixers or something like that. Yeah.
Well, the drinks company would argue that it costs.
Well, as regards the pricing of it.
Yeah, the pricing of it, indeed. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, ridiculous money.
Well, I don't know what to say to.
Of course, I don't know which one came first, Gary. Was it the just short and sweet here? Was it the enforcement of the drink driving? And then you had the smoking ban.
Oh yeah,
people didn't want to be standing in doorways.
Yeah, lots of challenges.
Right, didn't want to be standing in doorways and people going by, driving by or whatever, walking by, looking at people smoking in the doorway of a pub.
Yeah,
and then you had drink driving, and then 4 years back you had the lockdowns.
Yeah, all those things. You know, they changed the business.
Now, real people, real opinions, Nighttime Talk.
Ireland's classic hits radio.